Jack, you'll have that.
What are you going to sign?
One will just get rid of it. Oh, Jack's going to be on the phone.
Called the meeting back to order and Dennis left. That was a good deal. There he is. Forgot your mouse.
And my operating stick here.
All right, Dennis, it's all yours.
Good afternoon. Hopefully everybody got notes this go around.
Yep. Yes.
Did, well, thank you again for the reading material. That was very detailed. I appreciate that.
All right. Good. So the first item that I had on the agenda was a conditional use application by Michael Waller. It's for Sadie's Doghouse, LLC. And it is a conditional use for a dog kennel. The property is located at 9886 U.S. Highway 191, which is the Pinedale Glass building. And what they have going on there is basically they have room for 12 dogs, and it's an inside kennel in one of their buildings up there. We are just outside the town limits. So Pinedale Glass is located in the two green roof buildings, and in this white roof building over here on the end is where they are proposing to have the dog kennel. The facility is completely inside. They have room for the animals to play and stuff in there and get some exercise. They have 12 kennels set up inside so that they can keep the dogs overnight. They each have their own sleeping spot. And then they have facilities set up for dog grooming, bathing, etc. There is an outside run so that they can get out and use the restroom and stuff like that. As far as all of the kennel type standards and stuff, I believe it meets everything. The Planning and Zoning Board approved to recommend this conditional use permit to you guys at 5-0. Is there questions?
Do they own or rent that spot?
They rent that spot from Mickey.
Morse,
yeah. It's not Morse, but... Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Is it just dog boarding? Is it
dog boarding, dog grooming, and some dog training? Okay. And they're set up to board either just an overnight type of thing or an extended weekend if somebody needs to drop the dog off or anything like that. So.
Okay.
That conditional use permit is tied with that property then?
With that property, yes.
Okay. So they choose to.
Okay. Any questions for Dennis?
No, I don't. Except if there's any public comment
there. Any public comment on this one? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion we accept the conditional use permit for the dog kennel. Where's their name?
Michael Waller.
Michael Waller's.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the conditional use application by Michael Waller, Sadie's Doghouse?
Yes.
Yeah. LLC. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you very much. The second one that we have up is a minor subdivision application by Evans Family, LLC. They are requesting a two-lot minor subdivision of 16.63 acres. The property is currently zoned RR5. And the property is located at the intersection of Hoback Road and U.S. Highway 191. So, Bondurant Post Office and such is right here. Upper Hoback Road turns then and goes to the south. And it is this house right here on the corner. The
didn't we do one just right next to that?
We did the last month, I believe, we did the zoning for this.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We did the RR5
okay.
zoning.
Right.
It was an original ag piece that had been there forever and ever.
Right.
These buildings and most of this has existed since the 1940s.
Okay. Right. Now I remember.
And with this minor subdivision, I don't have a plat map pulled up on this, but basically what they're looking at doing is there's an existing fence line that skirts the buildings there, creates a 5-acre parcel up here and a remainder of about 11.6 acres.
That's right.
So they'd be able to sell one lot?
Yes. Yeah, and or either one. The present plan talking with them right now is the people that are renting the house and everything from them have been renting it for the last 5 years, I guess, would like to purchase that. They just couldn't afford to buy the whole thing. So they're breaking off 5 acres for them, and then the remainder they will keep.
Okay. Any questions for Dennis? Any comment from the public? Okay.
What was the recommendation of P&Z?
Oh, the recommendation of planning and zoning was 5-0 to approve. Recommend approval.
Okay.
I make a motion we approve the Evans family minor subdivision.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the minor subdivision application by the Evans family Holdings LLC. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Would you like to sign that Mylar now or let do it later?
We can do it just as soon as we finish this second one, this last one. Let's do that.
Okay. This last one is a conditional use request by George and Lisa Hall, and they are requesting a variance in the minimum square footage of a guest house that is allowed as per chapter and section. The house is located at 14170 US Highway 191 in Bondurant. The Halls they own both of these lots here. And they are 42-acre ag zoned properties. Existing right now, there is a house that is there right now. It started out probably 1,100 square feet. It's been remodeled to a little over 1,500 square feet. Their caretaker for the two properties currently lives in that house, and they would like to build another main house back here in this location. And I believe with that, there was a map that was included there. So they have come forward and asked for a variance in the size of the guest house so that they could build a new main house. I don't know how much more I can expound upon that. I do know their representative, Matt, is here also today, that he can maybe expound upon that a little bit more. But as far as the variance, it was heard before the planning and zoning staff. We had quite a bit of discussion on it, and whether the property would get subdivided or not, whether the house is going to be rented or not, and what the property owner's intent was, which came down to them just being able to build another main house on the property. The condition or this variance was voted on with a 3-2 to recommend denial.
The maximum square footage for a guest house right now stands at how many
square feet? 1,200 square feet. So we're looking at about 310 feet difference.
Pretty bad. Okay, so would the representative of the halls like to speak?
Yes, my name is Matt Bowers. I'm with Kearney Logan Burke Architects. We're representing the halls of Dr. Mayer, their neighbor and builder as well. I'll give a little explanation of what led us to the variance to start. Prior to purchasing the property, Stewart and Lisa Hall did their due diligence, reviewed the county development regulations, and saw nothing in writing that prohibited the addition of a new residence to the property. There is, I guess, within the allowable uses, it speaks under the agricultural zone, it speaks to residential uses plainly, and then in all other zoning districts, it speaks to a single family dwelling under allowable uses. So, you know, this led them to believe that agricultural properties are allowed multiple residences. So, you know, when we were brought on, we reviewed the regulations, found the same to be true, that there is nothing in writing prohibiting the addition of a new residence property. During our discussions with the planning department, we were made aware that there is a historical interpretation that says that any one property can have a main house and a guest house and no more, but that is not in writing anywhere within the regulations. So, you know, based on this historical interpretation, the halls have essentially four different options. So the first being to remodel the existing caretaker's house to reduce it by the 300 square feet overage and allow it to live within the guest house cap. This option, from the owner's perspective, is really not an option that they want to pursue, given that they do have a long-standing caretaker family that lives there. They have four young children that live in this small house together, so he's not willing to go there. The second option would be to subdivide the parcel, either through a family-exempt subdivision or just a minor subdivision, which both are completely within the regulations and are an option. But we also know that preserving agricultural properties is the number one goal of this county in its development regulations. And, you know, we see that going completely against the logic of that, and that they would all of a sudden gain rights to build three new houses versus one house. So I wanted to kind of state that case. So then the third option was the variance path. You know, this is the path that Halls chose to pursue. You know, they want to be long-standing members of this community, intend to make this their full-time residence as, you know, as their life allows and things settle down for them. You know, they don't want to be at odds with the county, so they wanted to, you know, work within the regulations here and take this path. So that's what led us to the request to allow the existing caretaker's house to be called a guest house at the 1,500 square feet versus the 1,200 square foot cap. We feel that's a pretty insignificant request in terms of, you know, size of square footage we're asking for. If we realize it does potentially open up some precedent, but if someone was to come and ask for, you know, an 800 or 1,000 square foot variance, we feel that that's a whole different conversation than the level of variance we're asking for here. So then there's a fourth option, as we see it, that really didn't come up at the planning and zoning meeting, but we want to make the case that we're, you know, depending on where the ruling for the variance goes, we would like to just go ahead and submit for a building permit underneath the current regulations. There is nothing in writing that prohibits that, and you know, so we see no factual way of denying that building permit. And quickly on the heels of this, the language can be amended to make sure that that never happens again. It's clean in that it sets no precedent for future cases. And, you know, we think is a legitimate way to handle this, given that, you know, they bought this property with plans and intentions of building a new residence. And there really was nothing from an outsider perspective in writing or anything spelled out that prohibits that.
Was there nothing in writing that said that there is a maximum square footage for a guest house?
That is spelled out, but... We've only been requesting, you know, we're only led to that request because there's nothing in writing saying that any one property is allowed a main house and a guest house. So they fully bought the property with the intentions of building a new residence, and there is nothing in writing that prohibits that.
But they would have known that they had to have that 1,200 square foot cap for their guest house.
Well,
because that was in writing, as you said, right?
Yeah, that is spelled out.
So they knew that they could build another residence, but they knew they had a 1,200 square foot maximum size for their guest house.
Correct, but there is nothing in writing that spells out the limitation that any one property can only have one main house and one guest house.
In where some of this confusion comes from is in the ag zoning district. As far as uses go, it states that residential uses will be allowed.
Okay.
In the remainder of the zoning district, they are described as one residential use shall be allowed, and then below that, in each of those, a guest cabin or a guest house will be allowed.
I see.
Yeah, so the lack of the overall statement leads one to believe that agricultural properties have rights for more than one residence.
It has always been accepted, and how things have always worked, as one residence per 35 acres. Is how that has come about. But as it states in the regulations, it says residential uses. It does not specify. So that's what he's alluding to there.
Okay.
Everything else in there does explain and go through one main residence with the addition of a guest house.
Okay, so I'm a little confused on option number four. You get a building permit. So does that mean you limit that building to 1,200 square feet? Or?
No, we build a, I think they're looking at around a 4,000 square foot house that they'd like to build. We build it as that. Again, there's nothing in writing within the allowable uses or an overall statement that would prohibit that within the current regulations. Given that bit of a hole within the regulations and everything's been based on the historical interpretation of this main house and guest house dynamic, it would be likely that on the heels of this, language would want to be added to the development regulations to make sure that doesn't happen again, but it's one way to get them what they're looking for without setting precedent for further variances to guest house sizes, things like that.
All right, and then everybody also got Matt's statement that he got out on that.
And furthermore, this one, the variance has the support of the HOA. They've got a letter from the HOA, saying that the whole bond arrangement is for it and acceptable to it. It preserves the ag property as one large property. It allows them to build one more house versus the three that a subdivision would allow. So we see a lot of advantages to that. The only downfall is that it, potentially opens up some precedent for the future. So,
go ahead, Commissioner.
Mr. Bernard. Chairman, speaking of precedents, has this board ever faced that consideration before where there's been an application of such that for special consideration where perhaps the agriculturally zoned owners have been denied this privilege in the past? Have we had that situation?
I don't remember in my term. Joe?
I don't remember. But Mr. Chairman, it leads me to have a question that's not related to this, but an agriculture-zoned piece, say a ranch, and we got numerous ranches in the county that have more than one ranch house, and they're 100 feet apart on the same 10-acre thing, and it makes sense.
Right.
Are they in violation then because of not allowed one more, more than one structure?
Because of how that falls back to allowing one residence per 35 acres. A lot of these ranches have taken in two or three existing ranches to begin with that have all had ranch houses on them, or they have put additional homes on ranches. But they're sitting on 2,000 acres, 3,000 acres. So they've, in essence, created a PUD, a planned unit development using, you know, a smaller area with the open space being the rest of the entire ranch.
And it describes it that way in the regs?
Yes, PUDs and such are allowed. And with the overall understanding that as far as ag, the described agricultural piece of land is 35 acres or more. So on a 35-acre parcel, you could have a residence and a guest house. Just because, you know, and you could break that out by deed. Each of those homes or residence could be broke off by deed if necessary in a 35-acre parcel. You know, to where you were maintaining the agricultural zoning on them.
So the fact that they own another 35 plus parcel next to this one, does that enter into it? And from the standpoint that they could build a house on each
not exactly
piece of property, or
because on this parcel here there is already there's about a 1600 square foot residence there, the barn, and there is an existing that is actually a homestead cabin is on that parcel.
So it's already got buildings on it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Burnett.
I guess I have two questions. One would be for the gentleman in the audience. In terms of explaining what you meant by the Homeowners Association being in agreement with this or approving it, mm-hmm. That's one question for you. And then for you, Dennis, when you had the planning and zoning meetings, was there any letters or voice of opposition from adjoining neighbors against this?
Yes, there was one. The Pfisters came in and spoke on this topic. And they were, well, pretty much opposed to the allowance of this, but also it seemed, you know, didn't want to see that lot also broke up to where it would allow more buildings than what would currently be allowed on that parcel. And they can speak to their
own. I'm going
to
ask Harmon to speak here in a moment. Commissioner Burnett, would you like
yes.
an answer to your
Please.
Question?
Yeah, so you know, we reached out to the head of the Bonnery Ranches, John Walker. He met with the members of the Bonnery Ranches, talked with all the different homeowners, and they all were agreeable, so they provided a letter of approval favor for the variance request, and we included that with the
that letter should have been in those packets.
Okay.
Harmon, would you like to speak to this?
When that was first subdivided, we went through quite a tussle getting the way it was set up previously, they could have put 104 houses there. See? And we didn't think we wanted that. And we finally drug the health department into it, and they came and did a perk test. And that's how we got 35 acres or larger. But you're opening a whole can of worms. They've got living quarters in that barn. And, if you allow this, who knows, maybe next week they're going to sell out to five different people, and then we're going to have five more houses down there.
I mean, how many times has that property changed hands in the last 20 years? And all those people said the same thing. Oh, we plan on being there. You plan on staying there. We're going to live here for life. And they didn't. So, you know, there's no guarantee that they're going to do what they say they're going to do as far as living there long term. And as far as the people in the house that rent the, or I don't know what their situation is, if they work off their caretaker position or how that works. But, you know, there again, you don't know if they're going to be here in a year, 5 years, 10 years. So I don't see why there should be a variance for that.
Anybody else from the public have any input on this?
Yeah, I will say that the Halls are committed to, you know, to the best interest of monitoring this property. I mean, they're currently investing hundreds of thousands of dollars into a bank stabilization effort to save the two existing existing houses that are quickly eroding and going to be falling in the river soon if nothing's done. So just, you know, for what it's worth, they do care about the property and want to do the right thing. They're not looking to build multiple houses. They just want to build one new house that's consistent with, you know, a main house and a guest house on any other property. And they prefer not to subdivide it further. I mean, I'm not sure if they will go there or not.
Okay, any further questions, gentlemen? Hold on just a second. I'll get right back to you. Do you guys have any other questions that you need to ask? Commissioner Noble, I see you thinking.
I'm thinking out loud. So there's one of those options was to subdivide it in half or whatever, and then they could build whatever they wanted anyhow. And what's to stop that from happening? Because we just subdivided one across the road. So then we've got two lots, and those two lots could then build a house and a guest house. So we're actually opening up room for more buildings. That's one viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And this one, if we give them the variance in this case, they build one house and are done with what they have currently. So that's just looking at it from an open point of mind. I see the Pandora's box and I agree with it.
Okay. You had a comment?
Just that I've been a neighbor to that parcel and I've seen several owners. And I know these owners and I have no objection to the variance.
Okay. Thank you. Where is your parcel from theirs?
You can see just a little bit of it there on the bottom of the screen.
Right down there?
On the other side, the same side of the highway, right in there.
Okay. Thank you.
The bigger parcel or the smaller one?
It's the smaller one with the black around it. That one right there.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any further comment from the public? Go ahead, Mr. Schultz.
Well, I'm just generically speaking, it seems to me that any variance there is the county regulations say that there's certain findings you have to make in order for a variance to be allowed, and I haven't heard any of those findings being discussed, and so I'm just curious as to how that applies in this situation. That might be the major precedent that is going to be set here is if you don't go through those findings and find a variance is allowable of those findings, then those of us who deal with these situations are going to have a loophole to come in and challenge variances on that, not so much on the size of the building, but on how the process is carried out. So
okay.
I just comment on that.
Yeah, do you have any comment on that, Dennis?
Yeah, those were in the, it went through in the, those packets also. Through the variance, you want me to kind of go through these or?
Briefly,
okay. Variance standards, granting the variance will not be determined to create a public health, safety, or welfare or moral injury to the properties in the vicinity. Granting the variance will not constitute a grant of special privileges consistent with the limitations of uses of the properties in the district. A hardship which is the basis of a variance application was not self-inflicted by the applicant. The granting of the variance is justified for one or more of the following reasons. Strict interpretation or enforcement of the development standards which would result in principal difficulty or necessary physical hardship, inconsistent with purpose of this resolution. Exceptional or extraordinary circumstances or conditions applied to the site for the variance that do not apply generally to the other properties in the district. Strict interpretation or enforcement of this development standard would deprive the applicant of privileges enjoyed by other property owners in the district. application lapse. That, those are the main points that are considered and addressed.
Okay. Further discussion, gentlemen, Commissioner Rauhauser.
Mr. Chairman, am I correct that if we would not grant this variance, they still have an avenue to build this house? But it goes through into a subdivision, they have to subdivide their property or go through a process that is within our rules.
Mm-hmm.
What they're asking now is not within the rules of the county the way it's written now.
Correct.
Maybe a little confusing, maybe a little gray, but it's still, the vote was 3-2 from our board.
Okay. Any further comment from the public? Okay. I'll entertain a motion at this time, gentlemen. Go ahead, Harmon.
As I understood it originally, those 35 acres, they could only be divided once by the original owner. Is that correct?
I think that is how it... There is something in the covenants, but there's also a time limitation or something in the covenants. I can't quote it per se as to what it is.
From our review,
I don't know how many people have owned that since it began, but like you say, you're going to open up quite a can of worms. If you allow them to subdivide that, even if they cut it once, then the next guy is going to come back and say, well, you let him do it, why can't I do it? And on and on and on.
So this one is pretty much about the variance, Harmon. This one isn't about a subdivision. So, but I understand what your worries are there, too. But if the variance is denied, they still have the purview to subdivide within the regulations.
Yes. Well, I'm saying in the beginning, there was the way Ron Semple had it set up,
yeah,
was 52 home sites on that.
Yeah.
On that Hamlin Ranch. Okay. Then they decided they wanted to cluster them, put them all up on that corner.
Right.
And if the original owner split it once, that's 104 houses.
Yeah.
And the way it got stopped was, like I said, we drug the health department into it. Please flush twice, long ways to your neighbor's sink.
Right. Right. I understand all that. I guess just what I'm getting at is today we're discussing the variance.
So, Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a moment?
I am. Has everybody said everything that they need to say?
Based on the advice from the county attorney that he cannot find that this harm is not self-inflicted, so therefore does not meet the criteria for granting a variance, according to what you told us. On that basis, I move we deny the variance.
I second.
It has been moved and seconded that the variance request from George S. and Lisa M. Hall be denied. Any further discussion from the board? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Is that it, Dennis?
That is all that I had on my plate.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
We will move on to our next agenda item, which is a simulcast RFP review. We're going to need to go into executive session for that.
You want to sign that, Mylar?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Come on up. Scott, let's get that signed.
Period and everything, so yeah. I couldn't do it this month.
Sure.
It'll yeah. come up through next month.
Beauty. Okay. And that'll clarify.
Yep. One 3:35.
Okay. Beauty.
Oh, it's going on.
All right.
Wow. It's kind of a relief in a way.
Yeah.
Not that it matters to me.
No.
But if we had another day on another 1,000 more drop, it would have been concerning.
Look at that overall.
How would we handle the problem?
Yeah, let's go and talk in my office there.
Does this one stay here?
That one stays here. That's for the TV, and here is the
cord.
Okay.
Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome. Thank you, Joel.
They're not all easy.
No.
We always hate to turn down a various application.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate because.